time now for KJN's Heartbeat Today, daily program focusing on the people, places, and events that make the Nishna Valley a special place. Today's edition of Heartbeat Today is brought to you by W&S Appliance in downtown Atlantic. And here at this morning's program is your host, Jim Field.
Hi, Chris. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Just fine, thank you. Another nice weather day yesterday.
Yeah, it was. Really nice.
Going to get the same today?
Sounds like it. Pretty
Any
similar.
Any rain in that forecast anywhere?
They're saying chances tonight and tomorrow and Saturday a little bit, but I don't know how strong that chance is.
I'm guessing not real strong, yeah. Otherwise, they tell us more specifically, yeah. Probably. Just enough to keep us looking. Mm-hmm. Kendall Warren's in with us this morning as we get started today. He'd like to tell us about W&S Appliance. Good morning, Kendall.
Good morning, Jim. Got a matched Maytag front load washer and dryer in good condition. Maytag drying center like new condition. Couple of used automatic washers, 36-inch gas cooktop, like new or is new, 30-inch electric cooktop with a built-in oven at a very low price, 2-use small-type smooth-top electric ranges, 9-8 cubic foot chest freezer, 2-door top freezer refrigerator, 25 cubic foot side-by-side, used refrigerator with bottom freezer, good condition, got a near-new Whirlpool portable air cleaner, 2-use built-in dishwashers, 1 portable dishwasher. Use microwave hood combinations. Have 2 of those. Give us an offer. Holland gas grills, no flare-ups, and a lifetime burner warranty. Water softeners by Luxury. It's an Iowa company. Got room air conditioners and a good variety of sizes in stock. Also 3 different sizes in portable dehumidifiers. Freezers chest and upright from 5 through and including 25 cubic foot. And most of them in stock for a quick delivery or pickup. Jim?
All right. Thank you, Kendall. Appreciate that very much. Yeah, the other day, of course, I sit around for a little while and kind of think about some things and try to come up with some different topics for some different programs to do. And, you know, I guess sometimes you just sit down, and when you're trying to come up with a topic to visit about with folks, sometimes you just go to the well and you decide just talk about things you like. How about ice cream? I like ice cream. You like ice cream? Bet you do.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Unless you're lactose intolerant.
That's true, yeah.
Most
yeah.
Folks enjoy their ice cream. Well, you know, July is National Ice Cream Month. It's a perfect time, I guess, to have National Ice Cream Month. Just lick it fast so it doesn't all melt on your hand. But President Ronald Reagan, back in 1984, designated July as National Ice Cream Month. And the third Sunday of the month is National Ice Cream Day. It's a fun food that most of the population in the United States, a full 90% of the nation's population, enjoy, so it seemed kind of worth the effort. Ice cream industry sales in the United States generate total revenues of around $10 billion in the 2010 year. Take-home ice cream sales had the largest section of that market, about $6.8 billion, about 67% of the market's overall value went home from the grocery store. And about 9% of all the milk that's produced by U.S. dairy farmers is used to produce ice cream, which contributes significantly to the entire market. So there's an awful lot going on in the ice cream industry. And when you take a look at ice cream, about 1.53, a little over 1.5 billion, with a B, gallons of ice cream and related frozen desserts were produced in the United States in 2011. That's according to the National Agriculture Statistics Service. The International Dairy Foods Association helps to promote a lot of the things that go on, but they also report that the U.S. ice cream industry generated an awful lot of stuff over the last 50 years. U.S. ice cream and frozen dessert manufacturers have been in the business for a long time. They say over 50 years, most of them, the majority of them, and many of them are still family-owned businesses as well. So some of those are ones that continue throughout the years in the family. There's a lot sold. Everybody has their favorite, right? What's your favorite ice cream?
Mine personally is I'm a big fan of mint chip. I like that one. I'd probably say that's my favorite overall.
My favorite ice cream is the frozen kind. I take the safe route. There's not too many of them that I'd probably turn away. Yeah. You can, you know, but folks have been creative with ice cream over time. They try to come up with some new stuff all the time. There are different ice cream companies, the Ben and Jerry's and some different ones like that, Baskin Robbins, that the large ones that try to come up. You know, they're constantly working in research and development, trying to come up with new and different types of things. And, you know, it used to be you'd have your chocolate and you'd have your vanilla and maybe you'd have your cherry, but Then all of a sudden they got to be, they were mixing a couple, two or three or four different fruits together to come up with some different flavor combinations and things. And there are lots of different ways that they do that now. I think it's probably pretty obvious. You know what the most popular flavor among consumers is?
Vanilla.
Yeah. You'd probably maybe go for something more dramatic, but you'd be wrong. Vanilla is by far the most popular ice cream flavor. But the International Ice Cream Association member companies, through a survey that they did, found that chocolate chip mint, there you go, and cookies and cream were the next most popular flavors.
Mm.
The cookies and cream one I would have gotten, but the chocolate chip mint, not so much. I would have figured just plain chocolate would have probably been number two. You figure most folks would just kind of go for the easy stuff there, but not so much. I'm kind of partial. If I'm going to buy ice cream in the store, I'm kind of partial to the toasted almond fudge or something along those lines.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that if you wanted to do something dramatic with ice cream, you'd scoop up, and those we would just do a lot of time when we were kids. You know, we'd scoop up just the vanilla or the chocolate ice cream in a bowl, and then we'd doctor it up after that.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have all the syrups and stuff and different types of nuts and what have you. And you know, if you really wanted to get crazy, a little whipped cream, maybe a cherry on top, and maybe make a banana split out of it, throw a banana in there, you know, all kinds of different things. But, you know, you'd go crazy on your own and figure it out. Well, now the companies pretty well do it themselves. I mean, you take your pick. I've seen stuff that's called moose tracks and turtle tracks and bear tracks, rabbit tracks, all kinds of things. Yeah. And usually all those things are kind of the same. They're just a kind of a combination of, you know, the ice cream along with some chocolate and fudge and perhaps some caramel and the different types of nuts and things. So there are a lot of different things that are added at the manufacturer's level, so we don't have to work so hard at it, I guess. But majority of ice cream and frozen desserts are marketed regionally as opposed to nationally. Now, we've all seen the national brands. I've mentioned a couple of them. You've got your Dairy Queens and places like that, too, that market the frozen, ice milk products. You know, it's the soft serve, which is different, as opposed to the traditional ice creams that folks are familiar with, and everybody kind of has their favorites. But most ice creams are marketed regionally instead of nationally. Almost 67% of U.S. ice cream and frozen dessert manufacturers say they don't market nationally. They just market in their own region. 16% do market nationally. So most of the ice cream is actually targeted towards certain areas. You could don't have to look real far. Up in Lamar's, they've got this little place called Blue Bunny, Wells Blue Bunny. You know, if you're out in California, maybe you're not terribly familiar with it. I don't know if they market that heavily out there, but if you're in the Midwest, we are certainly familiar with it. They market quite a bit here in this area. The ice cream companies that do market their products around the world say that Asia, the Caribbean, Mexico, and Latin America are the main importers of their ice cream products. And the premium ice creams, which tend to have lower amounts of aeration and higher fat content than regular ice cream, is the most popular product with consumers around the world. A lot of folks are looking for those types of things, too. Now, there's the perfect marriage. I mean, you could go into the history of ice cream and what have you, and that's all fine and dandy, but I think ice cream probably really took the major turn when it became merged with this thing called a cone. And there's a couple of different stories about how that actually happened. The first ice cream cone, according to the International Dairy Foods Association, was produced in 1896 by Italo Marchionne. Now, Marchionne was an Italian who emigrated in the late 1800s. It says he invented his ice cream cone in New York City and was granted a patent in December of 1903. Now, although he was credited with the invention of the cone, they said a similar creation was independently introduced at the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair. And that's the story that I keep hearing about by a fellow named Ernest A. Homwe, who is a Syrian concessionaire. He was selling a crisp, waffle-like pastry called Zalabis in a booth that was right next to an ice cream vendor. And because of ice cream's popularity, the ice cream vendor ran out of the dishes that he was serving up the ice cream in. So Homwe saw an easy solution to the ice cream vendor's problem. He just rolled up one of his wafer-like waffles in the shape of a cone, kind of a cornucopia look, and gave it to the ice cream vendor. Well, the cone cooled in just a few seconds, and the vendor put some ice cream in it, and the customers were really happy. The cone was on its way to becoming what it is today. So I guess the first cone was really kind of a waffle cone.
Yeah.
So when you go to the store and they ask if you'd like a regular cone or a waffle cone, hey, if you're going to go with tradition, you suppose you do the waffle cone, right? So it worked out real well. Well, they quickly capitalized on that success in the St. Louis area because a lot of folks started baking special equipment to be able to do these, what they called cornucopia cones at the time. And a fella in Sullivan, Missouri, was one of the first independent operators of the ice cream cone business, and it just kind of grew from there and really took off. Cone production, you know, it's just, as I say, you're talking 20 years later now, 1924, the cone production reached about 245 million. So you see where it went from just kind of serving them locally, all of a sudden it just ballooned to this massive business that just really took off. So a lot of neat stuff going on there, too, and continues today. You constantly see different ideas for the cone, too. Mm-hmm. It's not just the ice cream that gets kind of changed and whatever. Now, while vanilla continues to be America's flavor of choice with ice cream and novelties, they say the flavor is the most versatile because it mixes well with all the toppings and drinks. Of course, folks make ice cream floats and things and bakery desserts and all kinds of things. But they do say that ice cream flavors are only limited by the imagination. Manufacturers, scoop shops, chefs constantly come up with new and different flavors for customers. And to keep customers looking to see what's next in the freezer case, individual processors often release limited time seasonal type flavors. You might see flavors like gingerbread, peppermint, or caramel ice cream for the November-December holidays. So they're always looking for different trends and trying to create the buzz in ice cream sales the same way they do with other things, too. So have fun. Enjoy. July is National Ice Cream Month. Can't think of a better time for it. I want to turn things back over to Kendall Warren this morning. He'd like to tell us a little bit more about W&S Appliance. Kendall?
Thank you, Jim. We've got lots of refrigerators. Over 75 new units in stock by Amana, Whirlpool, Maytag, LG, KitchenAid, and Frigidaire. Got a good variety of colors, sizes, and, of course, prices. Do have some specials on some side-by-sides in white and black. And, of course, we do service the appliances we sell. And stop and see us. We got washers and dryers, portable yards, and super-capacity models. In top load and front load, we offer Whirlpool Estate, Speed Queen, Maytag, and LG. Might mention that Speed Queen does carry a 3-year, 100% parts and labor and in-home warranty service, best in the industry. For those with limited space, we have 2 stack units for them. Gas and electric ranges, freestanding on display, following the built-in cooking appliances are available on special orders such as built-in ovens, cooktops, slide-in ranges, drop-in ranges, and range hoods. Pot's on. It's Thursday, and I'll be there till 8 this evening. Jim?
All right. Thank you, Kendall. Appreciate that very much. You know, co-branding is one of the things they do now, too. If you walk through the ice cream aisle in any store and you look at all the different flavors and types and things, you'll probably see some that say different popular candies.
Yeah.
Names and different types of things like that. It could be candies, and that seems to be one of the things now, but candies, cookies, fruits, different things like that, different other brand names, just co-brand them together, and voila, you've got the next thing in ice cream sales. Like you needed something anyway. We all buy ice cream, right? Kendall, thanks for coming in this morning. Appreciate it very much. You go make it a great day, and God bless America.